Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Psachim Chaf Vav. We are three lines from the top of the Amid, and in the midst of a discussion between Abaye and Rava, in a case where a person encounters a Hana'a Baal Karchai, an unwillful Hana'a experience. He's strolling through the streets and discerns a pleasant aroma emanating from the Avodah Zarah. It's not something which he sought, but he's experiencing it. So the question here is whether he has to try to avoid it at all costs. We're speaking about a case where lo yafshar, it's difficult to avoid it. Tosfos says it entails toirach gadol, great exertion to avoid the situation. However, this fellow decided to have hana, to have kavana. He intends on enjoying it. Once he's there, he may as well enjoy it. So it's lo yafshar. On the one hand, it's an unavoidable situation, but there is kavana here. So Abaye says, look, according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter. Because the sole determinant is efshar or lo yafshar. Can he avoid it or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a situation where it's efshar, he can easily avoid it, then even if it's lo yimachaven, it's aser. Rabbi Yehuda holds, dover she'ein miskaven is aser. The key factor is, can you avoid it or not? If you can avoid it, then it's aser, despite the fact that he is loy miskaven. He has no intention of hana. Apparently, says Abaye, intention or lack of plays no role in determining the halacha. Rather, the key factor is, efshar or loy efshar? Can I avoid it or not? So if I can, then it's aser, despite the fact that I have no kavana. If it's lo yafshar, then it's mutter, regardless of whether or not he has kavanah. Therefore, says Abaye, in the case of lo yafshar, it is mutter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if he is miskaven. Whereas Rava disagrees, he says, it's either one factor or the other. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a situation where it's avoidable, it's efshar, it's aser, even if there's no kavanah. But likewise, if he has kavanah, then it's aser, even if it's lo yafshar. So either one plays a role in determining the halacha. Says the Gemara three lines from the top of the Amud, Amar Abaye, Menu Aminila. How do I know that it's so? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a loy efshar situation, unavoidable, it will be mutter even with kavana, even with intention to have hana. The Sanya Amru Alav Al Rabban Yoichanan Ben Zakkai. They would relate the following regarding Rabbi Yoichanan Ben Zakkai. Shoya Yoishev Betzila Shel Heichel. He would sit in the shadow of the Heichel. So Rashi says the Heichel was very tall, 100 amas high, and would cast a shade throughout the entire area. So you sit there with the crowd, v'dorish kol yom kuloi, and teach the entire day the halachas of Yom Tov, because they needed to have a large area to accommodate the crowd. V'hacha, now over here in this case, v'loy efshar, it's unavoidable, there's no other place that can accommodate them, u'mirchavin, but he's having hano with kavana, from the sail, the shade being cast by the Heichel, which is the Beis HaMikdash. How can he do that? Vishari, we see that it's mutter. So apparently, says Abaye, if it's lo yafshar, it's mutter, even if he is mechaven, if he intends on having the hana. V'Rav Amar, Rav will respond, Shani Heichel, the l'soichei asur. Heichel is different because it was constructed for its interior. It wasn't intended to cast a shadow and create a shady area around it. So that's called Shaloi Kederach Hana'asa, explains Rashi. It's not the usual manner of benefiting from the Heichel, and therefore it's Mutter in this case. Let's see Rashi. Rashi here is seven lines from the top of the Amid, right in the middle of that seventh line. HaHeichel. HaHeichel Goyvay Me'yama. HaHeichel was 100 Amas high, but Siloi Hoylech Lamarachik would cast a wide shadow throughout the area. Lamarachik Mo'it. Beruchayv shelfnei harabayis, in the square in front of harabayis. Umetoyach shelruchayv gadol haya, since it was a large square. Umachlik bnei adam harbe, would accommodate many people. Haya dorish sham bnei acham. So Rabbi Yochanan used that area and would be dorish over there to protect the public from the sun. It was a good shady area. She'en lecha beis hamedrash machzikan, because the beis hamedrash would not accommodate them. So here we have a situation of Deloy Efsha, Melidosh L'Rab M'Hilchas Achag, he couldn't avoid teaching the halachas of Yom Tov, V'kam Mechaven, Lihanis Mitzel HaKodesh. So loy efshar and kamachaben is mutter. Rava responds, Heichel is different. It's meant for its interior to serve the inside. And the hana of the tzeil outside wasn't considered to be asr. It wasn't considered the usual manner, the conventional way of having hana from the heichel, which is primarily for its interior. And Farshim explains, since it was a tzorech ravim, there was a drash here, so the chacham suspended their isr. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mina Aminala. Now it's my turn, I'll bring a raya that the fact that a person has kavana, that generates isr. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Lulin Hayu Psuchim. There were these holes in the ceiling, Ba'aliyas Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the upper floor, right above the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash, so there was the Lulin, they had the holes in the floor, leading into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shebohen Mishalshim Sa'umnin, through which they would lower the laborers, betevos in these boxes, when they need to do renovations, Kadesh lo yazunu einayim mibeis kodesh hakadoshim, so they wouldn't satiate their eyes from the appearance, the sight of the kodesh hakadoshim. So it was meant to restrict their vision. Here's a case of lo yefshar. There was no alternative. They had to go in there to do their repairs. And we were concerned about them having kavana by gazing at the appearance of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, va'asur, and we see that there was a concern, they had to lock him into these boxes. So we see that kavana generates isr. So it's a right to Rav. V'tisbra, says the Gemara, is that so? Can you say there was a concern regarding just looking and gazing? That's not tangible. That's not a concern. Va'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Mishumar Kapar. Goyal. Sound, pleasant sound of music coming from the instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, umare, appearance, a pleasant sight, vareach, and a pleasant aroma wafting from the keteris in the Beis HaMikdash, ein behen mishum me'ila. There was no me'ila min ha-teira. So generally, if a person benefits from the hegdash, he was moyel, he has to bring a carbon, these things are not tangible, sight, sound, smell. So, since min ha-teira, there would be no iser, although midrabanan there's an iser, but in this case, where there's no alternative, they had to go do the renovations. And there's a svara here that, of course, there wouldn't be any reason for them, chacham, to make an issue here. It was a tzorech, Tesis says. So why would there be any consideration, any concern for the workers gazing at the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim? Elo mala also Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. Apparently, it wasn't halachically mandated. It was just an added stringency, a mila that chachamim applied, due to the fact that it was Kodesh HaKadoshim. But certainly you can't deduce from this anything halachically. Maybe not Torah, or even the Rabbanon, there wouldn't really be a concern in this case. So therefore, Rava doesn't really have a right from here that Kavana can generate Isser in a case of Efshar, when it's unavoidable. Ika de Amri, there's another version. Amar Rava, Rava said, V'na Aminila. Where do I have a riot to my concept that kavana is the cause for iser? The sanya omar ab shuman pazi, omar shuman levi, mishuma kapar, koil umar vareach. Again, these three things: sound, sight, smell. Ein ben mishuma ila. There's no meila concern. Meila udalecha. Okay, so min atur there's no meila. Ha isur ika. Apparently, midrabanan there's an iser to benefit from sight, sound, or smell of the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's analyze. What are we speaking about? My love, lo'isun ha'inden bifnim. Are we not speaking about the people inside the Beis HaMikdash? They're serving, and they have nowhere to go. It's lo efshar. They have to be there. Still, what do we see? That even if it's lo efshar, but if there's kavana, there's intent to have hana, it's asr. My love, lo'isun ha'inden bifnim. The lo efshar ve'kamechavim. So we see that kavana generates isra, and this is the right to Rava. We're speaking about the people outside the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have to be there. It's avoidable. And yet, to those people, there's an isra. Even when it comes to koil ma'ariv areach. Tosis explains the isra is only that they shouldn't move closer to the Azura to smell better. But just being in the Yerushalayim didn't pose a concern. It brings a Gemara in Yuma that a kala in Yerushalayim wouldn't have to use any besamim, because everything was saturated from the pleasant aroma of the ketores. So just being there was okay, as long as you don't do something, you don't actively try to seek the hana. So at any rate, we have no right to Rava. The reason why it was Asur was because we're speaking about people outside where it is Efshar to avoid. But certainly in the case of Loy Efshar, you have no raya. That would be Asur even when there's Kavan. Kufa. Okay, let's pick up on this topic. Omar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Rav Shimon Levi, Meshubba Kapar. Koilu Mare Vareach, Ein Bahen Meshumila. There's no Meila when it comes to Koil, to Mare Vareach. Says more, is that so? Vareach. Ein by Mishamila, is there no Me'ila when it comes to pleasant aroma of the Beis HaMikdash? But Hani will learn to the Brais. Hamafata Masakteris. If a person crushes, mixes the ingredients for the Kteris, Lislamadba, if he's doing it to train himself, or to hand it over to the Tzibur for the Beis HaMikdash, Potter. However, Lahriachba, if he's doing it for his own personal use, to smell the Kteris, Chayav, then it's chayav echatos or kares if it's bemezit. V'hameriach ba potter. If a person should actually smell the besamim of the Beis HaMikdash, then he's potter from chatos, from kares, because only one that actually produces it is liable to that iser. But if he's just going to smell the kares in the Beis HaMikdash, he's potter from this iser, elishamal, but certainly he committed milah. What do we see from here? That even just ingesting the scent, the smell, the aroma, involves me'ilah. So how can we say that reyach doesn't involve me'ilah? Elomar papa, we must split these things into two parts. Koilumara, when it comes to sound and sight, ein ben mishme'ilah, there's no me'ilah, lefish ein ben mamish, they're not considered tangible. The reyach, however, when it comes to reyach, which is considered to be somewhat tangible, Rashi explains, since it's besamim that are being burnt, so that's generating the reyach. So then it depends. La'achar shetalatim roisoi, after the plume of smoke in the Beis HaMikdash has already ascended, and at that point the mitzvah has been fulfilled, ein bo mishum me'ilah, at that point there's no more me'ilah, hoil v'nasas mitzvasoi, since the mitzvah has been fulfilled. But before talatim roisoi, before the smoke has ascended, at that point, it's still pre-mitzvah fulfillment. Of course, there's me'ilah because the reyach, this aroma, is considered, tangible because it's coming from the samamonim, these incense that are being burnt. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So if we go up a couple of lines, Rashi begins, Hamafatam. Hamafatam sakteris, a couple of lines from where we're holding above from where we're holding the Gemara. Hamfatam Zakteris. Kteris Zora Shen Shal Tzibur. So a non-public Kteris. He's doing his own Kteris. Then it depends. Im Lislamet Ba'oilu Maitzroi. If he's doing it to train himself or he intends on passing it on to the Tzibur. Achar Pritumah Le Tzibur. After he produces it, he's going to give it to the Tzibur. Patam Mikaris. Avalim Dater Latzne Letzorchai L'Riechba. But if his intention is to keep it for himself, and he used the same exact ingredients in the pasuk, chayev kar sechsiv isha shayasa kamoya l'riach ba v'nichras. That's number one. Number two, v'amiriach ba b'kter shal tzibur. If he actually smells the kter of the tzibur, potem mikar shem echatas. There's no kars, no chatas. The lechiva teira ella mafatim l'riach. The teira was machayev only if he actually produces, he crushes, he mixes, he actually produces the kter. But just smelling a pre-produced k'teres doesn't entail this chiyuv, but there is me'ilah. Elo shemal, shenenam and akodesh. At the end of the day, he had enough from kachim, umevig asha me'ilahs. So we see that reyach is considered a me'ilah candidate. Says the Papa, Koil umara, those things are different. Ember and mamish, they're not tangible. Patel oilam, in that case, he's completely patel from me'ilah. However, when it comes to reyach, yesh bay mamish, b'samemonim. Leficha chayev, since it's coming from the samamonim which are mamashes, he's chayev meila. Udeka amar Rabbi Yeshua potter. When Rabbi Yeshua says that he is potter, laachar shetale timrasa b'miglish ka amar. He meant in the Beis HaMikdash after the The ashan, the smoke of the Ktoris already ascended. The mishum de nasis mitzvasai. Vein tzerech gavoya oidba. Since its mitzvah has been fulfilled and there's no need for the gavoya doesn't need it anymore. Yotzei sam mechal kachi Hashem. It's no longer kachi Hashem. Ubraisa b'mariach b'beisa. The braisa which says it is chayav for smelling. It wasn't in the Beis Hamikdash after the Ktoris was already offered. Rather, in his home, Shinaisin men al gacholim takes some of the Ktoris, puts it on his coals and smells it there. At that point, certainly it is mila. Continues the Gemara. So let's dwell on this point. You're telling me that after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, there's no longer me'ila? L'meimra. Do you mean to say, l'chol heicha denasas mitzvasi? If the mitzvah has been completed, eibay mishum me'ila, there's no longer me'ila? We have a raya from another place where it seems that there's me'ila even now. Varei trumas hadeshen, denasas mitzvas. What about trumas hadeshen, where they would remove a small portion of the ashes every morning, place near the mizbech? The mitzvah has been fulfilled. And we see that nevertheless there's me'ila applied even at this point, after it's been removed from the mizbeach. He went to place the ash near the mizbeach. We learn from there, number one, shalei fazer. Don't disperse it. Put it neatly there. V'samai shalei yene. You put it there so that nobody has anna. It's meant to be there, and we learn from the pasuk here, you're not allowed to have anna. Rashi says that the ashes were swallowed into the ground. This is one of the nisim. So even if it's after the mitzvah, nasas mitzvah, so we see there's still an iser. It's still me'il. How's that? Says the Gemara Mishum Da'ava Trumas Hadeshen. U big day kihuna. We actually find that in addition to Trumas Hadeshen having this phenomena, there's another instance, which is big day kihuna. The big day lovin, the white begotten, the going God of war. To the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, the pasuk says that they can no longer be used. There's Isser, there's Me'ila, even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled. So since we find this phenomenon in two places, Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kehuna, Mishum David, Trumas Hadeshen u Bigdei Kehuna, Shnei Ksuvin Haban Ke'echad. These are two psukim which are leading in the same direction, teaching us the same lesson, and we know that when we have that, we have two psukim teaching us the same, we don't apply that concept elsewhere. Otherwise, the Torah would just say it once. And then we would draw a parallel. We would learn and apply that elsewhere. The Torah specifically repeats it here and there to indicate it's meant to remain limited to these two instances. Don't apply it everywhere else. We have two psukim, which are written as one, teaching the same lesson. Big Day Kahuna, Trumas Hadeshen. We don't apply that elsewhere. So everywhere other than these two places, we say, well, once the mitzvah has been fulfilled, there's no longer me'ila, is no longer the iser. Trumas Hadeshen Hadamaran, Trumas Hadeshen we just mentioned, Big Day Kihuna, where do we find it over there? The Chsiv V'Nicham Sham, the Kohen is meant to place the begotten there. Melamed Shetun Gnisa, this teaches us, you're meant to store it, to hide it, to avoid using it, because although it's been used, it's Nasas Mitzvah, so it's meant to be put away, Gniza, and there would be an Isser for using it. This works according to Rabbanon, the Amri, Malame Shetun Gniza. That this Pasuk, V'nicham Sham, teaches us that we're meant to hide it, to store it away, so that it's not no longer used. So we have two examples of the same concept, Trumas Hadeshen and Big Day Kehuna, and we can't apply it elsewhere. Elo the Rabbi Doisa de Palagalayu. However, according to Rabbi Doisa, who disagrees with the Rabbanon, he reinterprets the pasuk differently. He says like this, the Omar, that when it says V'nicham Sham, it doesn't mean you may no longer use it. It just means that the Kohen Gadol come next year on Yom Kippur can't use these Big Day Lovin. Aval Ru'uyin Hein L'Kohen Hedyot. But an ordinary Kohen can use these Begadim for Big Day Lovin, he can use it throughout the year. U'mai V'nicham Sham, what does V'nicham Sham mean? That it should no longer be used on the next Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol can't wear it the next Yom Kippur. But it's usable. So according to this, Michael and Mema, what are we going to say? We only have one instance, Trumas Hadeshen, where the Torah is mechadesh that after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, you still can't partake in it. There's still me'ila. We don't have two instances saying the same thing. We don't stay suvin. So why can't we apply the chiddush of Trumas Hadeshen elsewhere and say, well, just as Trumas Hadeshen contains me'ila after the mitzvah was done, likewise everywhere else, like the Keteris, Says the Gemara, because we actually have another place that has this concept. Mishum dahava trumas hadeshen, number one. The egla arufa. There as well, we find this concept that even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, it's still aser. So if a person murdered, then we don't know who the murderer is. We say the closest city needs to bring a karban, this egla, this calf, remove its head, egla arufa. It's aser b'hano even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled. So trumas hadeshen v'egla arufa provide the shnei k'suvim that we're looking for. A double source. Shnei k'suvim mon k'echad, two psukim that are teaching us the same thing. Two instances where we have the chiddush, that even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, you still can't have anah. V'chol shnei k'suvim mon k'echad, eim alavim. Whatever, we have two psukim heading in the same direction, that indicates that we're not meant to apply the concept elsewhere. This works according to the shita that says, yeah, you can't apply it elsewhere. But according to the other shita, as she says, it's shita Rabbi Yehuda, Mesechta Sanhedrin, that even when we have two psukim that are identical, teaching the same thing, you can still apply it elsewhere. Michael Amemer, according to him, why don't we say that elsewhere as well? Even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, it should be aser, it should be me'ila. Answers the Gemara, trei mi'ut eksivi, because we find that the Torah has two mi'utim. One by Trumas Hadeshen, and one by Egla Rufa, to indicate that this Chiddush element applies only in these cases. Ksiv v'samay, by Trumas Hadeshen it says, v'samay etzel mizbeach, this thing is meant to be placed here, there's a concern only here. But elsewhere, once the mitzvah was done, there's no longer concern. Uksiv ha'arufa, by Egla Rufa it says, ha'egla ha'arufa, to indicate only the ha'arufa has this concern, but other places and other mitzvahs, once the mitzvah has been completed, there's no longer an iser. So in conclusion, we discussed kol mar v'reyach, we discussed things that are aser even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, and then we concluded when it comes to kol mar v'reyach, we have to split into two categories. Kol and mar are intangibles, and therefore there's no me'ila. When it comes to reyach, that's considered something tangible, and depends. If he's ingesting it before the mitzvah has been fulfilled, koidim shetala tumrusoi, in that case it's me'ila. But after the plume of smoke has already ascended and the mitzvah has been completely fulfilled, there's no me'ila. We have cases that even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, there will still be iser or me'ila. We had Trumas Hadeshen where there is me'ila even after placing it down near the mizbeach. The pasuk says v'samoy to indicate that this chiddush is limited to this only. We had Big Day Kehuna, according to the Rabbanon, after it's been used, it must be Nignas, you have to go and hide it, because it's Me'ila. We had Egla Rufa, where it's Aser Bahano, even after the mitzvah has been fulfilled, the Pasuk says, Ha'egla Ha'arufa, to indicate that this Chiddush is limited to this case and can't be applied elsewhere. Continues the Gemara. So let's get back to our discussion between Abaye and Rava. In a case where person encounters a hana, ba'al karchai, it's like efshar, it's unavoidable, but he has kavana, he intends on having hana, enjoying the experience. According to Abaye, it's mutter because it's like efshar. According to Rava, kavana generates iser. Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya to Rava. Hechnisa l'ravka, Rashi says we're speaking about the egla rufa, which is only kosher if it didn't engage in any malacha, any work, but if he took the egla and put it into the ravka, this is the pair of cows, so he hitched it up with a team of cows, vidasha, and it happened to thresh. It threshed along with the rest of them, but that wasn't his kavana, kshira, so the egla is still kosher. We don't deem it to have fulfilled, complete any work. However, bishvil shetinak, if he brought it in there so that it suckles, that it feeds off its mother, v'tidosh, and also so that it threshes along, psula. In this case, it is considered to have performed work, and it's puzzle. V'acha, here we have a case. V'lo yefshar, it's unavoidable. It needs to nurse. V'kamachavin, but since he has kavana, he wants it to thresh, to do malacha, v'katani psula. And what do we see here? That it's puzzle. So we see that kavana generates iser and psul. Shani hasam, there's different. The pasuk is marba this case. This can't be applied elsewhere. It's unique to egla rufa. That mere kavana is reckoned with. Dechsiv ashaloi ubad ba. It needs to be an animal which work was not done with it. Mikol makim. Ubat means any work that was done with it. So mere kavana, intent, being pleased with the work that his animal is performing, is sufficient to make it possible. If that's so, afilu reisha nami. So even in the first case, where it happens to thresh, there as well it should be asr because that's enough. Ubat ba, work was performed by the animal. Why do you need the element of kavana? Why does he have to be pleased? If it's ubat ba, it should be possible. Says the Mahalai Dam Yalah. It can only be compared to the following halach. We see the same concept by Parah Aduma. And the point will be that, yeah, even self-performing work, even if he doesn't actually directly take his animal and work with it, even if the animal should work on its own, that is also cause for concern. However, you need to have that personal element also. It needs to be kavana, needs to be nichali, needs to be pleased with the fact that his animal is doing that work. Shachan alea oif kshira. There's a Mishnah Mesechas Parah. So if a bird happens to perch itself on the Parah Aduma, kshira, there's no concern. Although the Parah is not meant to do any work, carry a load, carry a yoke, but this oif that landed on the Parah doesn't generate concern. Allah aleha zachar psula. However, if a zachar ascended on the Parah, it's possible. And the point will be that in the case of the oif, he's not nichal, he's not pleased about it. He has no benefit from it. So therefore, it's not reckoned with. However, when it comes to the zachar, which can generate offspring, in that case, we say that it's something that he's pleased with, he's happy with it, he's nichalei, and it is considered to have performed work, to have carried a load. So likewise, when it comes to the egel rufa, which was connected to the other animals, hichnisa l'ravka, well, it depends. If he's pleased with the work, if that was his intent, b'shvil shatinak v'tidosh, so he wants the threshing, then it's possible. But if it's merely threshing on its own, without his kavana, there's no concern. So Rashi explains that Parah Aduma and Egel Rufa are equated one to the other. They work with the same guidelines. It says, well, my time, truly, why is this the, why? Why is that so? Meaning, what is your source to this concept that intent can go ahead and influence manners? Amar Rav Papa. There are two psukim which seem to contradict each other, and the resolution of those psukim will produce this formula. Iksiv Avad, if the pasuk would have said that this animal, this egla rufa, was loy avad ba, loy avad. If it would say avad, the Korean avad, and likewise we would read it as such, it's loy avad would mean that you can't perform work with it. That would teach us adab avad ba iu. It's only a problem if he himself went ahead and did work with the egla rufa or the Parah Aduma. So that's if it would be avad, spelled avad, and read avad, which indicates personal, manual involvement. Iksiv uvad, the Korean ubad, if it would say ubad, and we would also read it, ubad, that would indicate afilu b'melinami, even if it happened on its own without his personal involvement. It also creates psul. So if it would be avad, it would mean him. If it's ubad, even on its own. Hashtadiksiv avad. But now that the spelling indicates avad, ayin, beis, dalet. However, when we read it, the Korean ubad, we read it ubad, with a shuruk. So that indicates on its own. So which one is it? Is it avad, meaning direct manual involvement? Or even on its own, also creates psul. So we have an apparent contradiction between the ksiv and the kri, the spelling and the reading. So we reconcile as follows. It doesn't have to involve his personal direct involvement. Even automatic avoida, even if the animal should work on its own, that's sufficient. But there needs to be some form of personal element here as well. It needs to be at least nichale. It needs to be pleased. It needs to have intent. Ubad dumidavad. Even if it happens on its own, ubad, that's also reason for psul, but it has to be similar in nature to avad. My avad the nichle, just as if he would do it personally, he certainly would be pleased with what he's doing. He's doing it with intent. Af ubad the nichle. Likewise, if it happens on its own, that's also grounds for invalidation, but it needs to be nichle. see something that he's pleased with. That explains the halacha. If the oiv happened to perch on his para, that's not something which he's pleased with. Or if the zachar comes, then that's nichale, and it is poisel. When he takes the egla, puts it into the ravka, hitches it with the other team, other cows. So if it's nichale that they should be threshing, then it's poisel. If it's no nichale, then it's kosher. So we wanted to bring a raya from here that kavana generates iser. The Gemara says, egla rufa is a pasuk. Ashalei uvadba mikol maka. And we learn from here, based on Rav Papa's drasha, that yeah, in this case is unique. Kavana, intent, being pleased with something, is reckoned with. But not necessarily can you apply this concept elsewhere. So there's no raya to Rav. Toshma, let's bring another raya to Rav. That kavana generates iser. Aveda, a person has a lost item that he found, a garment. Lo yishtachena, he shouldn't spread it out. Lo yagabe mita, lo yagabe mogid, not on a bed or on a hook. Letzorchai, if he's doing it for his own personal benefit. Avo shoytcha letzorcha, but he can spread it out for the sake of the garment's benefit. Al gabe mita, al gabe mogid, on a bed or on a hook, to keep it fresh, free from mold, from spoilage. What if he has some guests that arrived? At that point, he can't display the begad. He shouldn't spread it out regardless. He shouldn't spread it on a bed or on a hook. Whether to benefit the begad or for his own benefit. Here we have a case of lo yefshar. It's unavoidable. As Mefarshim explained, he's doing it for the begad's benefit. It's not considered personal gain, personal hana. So what do we see? Even when it's le'efshar, the fact that he has hana from it. Look, he's displaying it for his guests. That makes it awesome. That's a right to Rava. That kavana changes the equation. Shami hasan the kalila. Over there it's different because he's burning it. Just a term. It means that he's going to harm the beged. Why? By displaying it in public. It can bring about harm, direct harm to the beged. Whether it's through generating the ayin hara, by evoking the jealousy of his guests. So that can have a spiritually detrimental effect on the beged and bring about its destruction and harm. Or perhaps because of ganovim that are present amongst his guests who might walk away with a beged. Let's see Rashi. So Rashi here is 5-6 lines above our location in the Gemara. Beginning with the words, Nizdamna loy urchin v'chulu. So if you ask him a guess, we don't allow him to spread it out. Alma afagav lo tzarchu, even though he's doing it for the sake of the beged, it's asr. V'haynu lo yefshar. So it's for the sake of the beged, it's called lo yefshar. Nevertheless, we say it's asr hoylu miskavan l'skabed u'shchaveru, since he intends on honoring himself, showing off, using his friend's beged, Baruchin, with his guest, Choshele Gezel V'Asr, it's considered Gezel and it's Asr, so you see that intent can generate this. Mishani, the Gemara responds, no, Allah Mishum Kavanu. It's unrelated to intent. Ela Mishum Debishticha Zu Kalila. He's simply burning it by spreading it out. Kaloimar, Ma'abdibi Adayim, he's causing harm. Imishum Eina Bishat, Ryan Hora, Imishum Dilma, Uruchin Garvinenu. Or perhaps because he has some Ganovim as guests, but Ganvilan, they walk away with it. So that's the concern. It's not because of kavana, rather because he might actually bring about harm and destruction to his friend's item. Okay, so at this point, we didn't really have a raya one way or the other. We tried to bring a raya that kavana can make things usher. The Gemara pushed away the rayas. Now the Gemara will proceed and bring another raya. Actually, it's going to refer back to the first version of events in the discussion between Abaye and Rava. So according to the first Lashon in the Gemara, back in the Chafei, the machlokes between Abai v'Rav involved Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Dover Shein Meskaven is Mutter, so lack of intent equals Heter. The question is, let's say it's avoidable, it's Efsher, he can find an alternate route. Do we say that there as well it's Mutter because he has no Kavana? Abai says yes, Dover Shein Meskaven is Mutter in all cases. Rav says, if he can easily avoid the situation, then it would be us, even according to Rav Shimon, it's like having kavana. So according to Rava, unless both elements are present, number one, Number two, it's difficult to get away. It's Le'efshar. Unless both are present, it wouldn't be mutter contraption. The Gemara is going to bring a raya to Shita Sabai that just simply lack of kavana is sufficient to be mutter. Toshma, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah in Kalayim. Moichrik sus, moichrik kedarkan, the garment merchants who would wear the garments to display them, they can wear it. They can wear them even in a usual manner on themselves, even if they have kalayim, because there's no kavana for hana. They're just trying to do business. Ubavad provided shleiskaven b'chama v'pnei achama, that in the summertime, his kavana is not to shield himself with these begadim from the sun, ubigshomim p'nei achshomim, and during rain season from the rain. As long as he has no kavana of hana, it's mutter. However, vatsnuin, mafshilin, lacharein b'makel, the more conscientious ones, the ones that would distance themselves from anything that resembles an aver, they were machmer and they would sling the begadim on a pole behind them. V'ha'ocha de'efshar l'mevet katsnunin, here we have a case where anybody could technically follow the method of the tsnun, there's a way out. V'chiloy mechavnin shari, but since he has no kavana fa'ano, it's mutter. Apparently, lack of kavana is sufficient to be matter, even when there's a way out. To yufta leman de masni, lishna kama de rava, to yufta. This is a refutation to the one that presented the first lashon of rava, that even when there is no kavana, it is asur in the case of efshar. We see clearly that it's not so. So in summary, Gemara began discussing the second version of the machlekes abayi v'rava. In the case where he's encountering Yahano Bal Karchai, it's late Efshar, it's difficult to avoid. However, this fellow is having Kavana. We're following Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, who generally says that even Dover She'ein Meskaven is Asr. If he can avoid it, then it's Asr even without Kavana. Should we deduce from there that Kavana is not a determinant at all? So in a case where he can't avoid it, it's Mutter, even if he has Kavana. Abayi says yes, Rava says no. If he has kavana, that in itself is a reason to be asur. We began with a raya according to Abaye from the Tzila Shel Heichal. Reichel and Zakai presented his drasha in the shade of the Heichal. It was Le'efshar, but it was Mechavan. And we see that it's mutter. Rava says, no, because the Heichal was meant for its interior, and having this type of hano is Shalei Kederach. Rava proceeded with four rayas. So we had a raya from the Tevois HaUmnin, the boxes through which they would lower the renovators into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Apparently we were concerned about them having Hanoah, even though it was Le'efshar. And our Gemara responded, well, over there it was just a Milo, it was a Chumrah for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We had another version of this Raya because we learned that Koil Mar V'Reach have no Me'ilah, but it's Asar Medrabana. Are we not speaking about the people inside who have no way out? It's Le'efshar, but since there's Kavana, there's Isser. And Abaye responds by saying, no, we're speaking about the people outside the Beis HaMikdash, and they can easily avoid it, so it's not Le'efshar for them. Who proceeded with the raya from Egla Rufa, where he brought it in with the intent that it performs the disha, the threshing, and it's Asar. So we see Kavana makes things Asar, it's a raya to Rava. Abaye responds by saying, well, over there there's a pasuk, Ashali Ubad, which indicates that even Kavana is enough reason to make things Asar. We concluded with the raya from the Aveda. He can't spread the garment out in public. Apparently, says Rava, Kavana makes things asur. Abaye says, no, over there he's being mazaket, ayin hara, or because of the ganav. More concluded with a raya, pertaining to the first version of the discussion between Abaye and Rava in a case where he has no kavana, but he can avoid it. The question is, according to Rav Shimon, is that sufficient ground to make it mutter? Abaye says yes, Rava says no. We have a raya from the moichek sus that are allowed to wear the garments kedarkan in the usual manner, since there's no kavana of hana. Apparently, even when there's a way out, easy way out, efshar. But since there's no kavana, it's mutter, there's a raya to Abaye. Continues the Gemara. For the Asik boy, Misha says, you can't use the chametz to heat up your oven. Tanur Abanan. Tanur shish sikoy biklipi orla. A tanur that was fueled using the peels, the shells of orla fruit, which are asa b'hana, oy bekashen shel klei akerem, or the straw klei akerem, which are likewise asur b'hana. So what happened now? Chodosh, if he used them to fuel, to heat up the new oven. So they shaped it, they finished producing it, now they have to heat it up to galvanize it. That's the completion of the production process. So if it was done using Isser Hano, Yutatz, you have to demolish that oven, because the oven is also Hano. It was produced using Isser Hano. Yoshan, but if you were merely heating up a old oven, so Yutatz, just cool it off, and then use the oven. Offerbo is a pas. So if a person actually baked bread using the fuel of Isser Hano, Rebbe, Yomer HaPas Asura. The bread is Asur. According to Rebbe, the fuel, the wood, the Eitzim of the Isser Hano are directly benefiting, impacting that bread. This bread has been produced by Isser Hano, and therefore it's Asur. Yomer HaPas Muteres. According to them, it's Muter. Taisus explains, because the flame emanating from the Isser Hano fuel is post-destruction, the fuel is no longer in existence, it's no longer intact once the fire is here. So it's not considered a direct hana from the actual Isser Hano. Bishla, gabi gecholim, if he happened to cook or bake his bread on coals, so here as well, the Isser Hano is no longer intact, all you have is burnt Isser Hano, you have just coals, if you have called mutter, we'll agree that it's mutter. So you have two elements in the braisa. He baked his bread using the flame coming from the Isser Hano fuel. According to Rebbe, it's Asur, it's a direct Hano, benefiting his bread. Whereas according to Chachamim, it's called an indirect Hano, the Isser Hano, the fuel of it. The oil is no longer really in existence once there's a flame here. Therefore, the bread is mutter. Regarding fueling up, heating up an oven, so we learn that if it's a new oven being galvanized by this heat, you've completed the production process using Isser Hano, then the oven itself is Asur. And presumably, it's following Shitas Rebbe. Since it was generated by Isser Hano, it's us. V'atanya, however, we learned in another brisa, Bein Chadosh, u'Bein Yoshan Yutzan. Whether he heated up a new oven, so he completed the production using the Isser Hano, u'Bein Yoshan, whether it was an old oven, Yutzan, all he needs to do is cool off the oven and then use it. So even a new oven produced through Isser Hano seems to be okay, as opposed to the earlier brisa, where we say, Yutatz, you have to demolish it. Like Hasha, the answer is, HaRebbe V'Rabbanan. The earlier brisa was Rebbe. Something generated by Isser Hano is Asur. The second brisa is Rabbanan, who say, there's no concern. Eimor D'Shamas Leilu Rebbe. When do we see that Rebbe holds that it's Asur? That's only when he actually bakes a bread, using the actual firewood. Mishum diyesh shvach etzim bapas, because the shvach, the benefit, the improvement, the etzim, are actually directly impacting the bread. It's visible in the bread. It's embedded in the bread. It's been produced by the firewood, which was intact when he was baking that bread. That's why it's asur, as opposed to the case of the oven. True, the oven itself was produced by the firewood of Isser Hano, so don't eat the oven. But once the oven has been heated up, and now the fuel is no longer in existence, he's going to take that oven, introduce new firewood, which is mutter. It's not actually directly benefiting from the original firewood, from the Isser Hano. It's an indirect Hano. He's taking the oven, which is really Asur B'Hano, and combining it, joining it together with new firewood. So you have two causes now, working jointly to produce a new loaf of bread. Zev ze goyrim. Zev ze goyrim. You have a goyrim of Isser, which is the oven, a source of Isser, and you have a goyrim of Heter, the new firewood being introduced now. So you have two separate elements being used to produce the new loaf of bread. So you have two causes, one Isser, one Heter. How do you know in that case? Rebbe would say Asur. Zev is a goyim mishamasli. How do you know that he would say it's asur? True, the original bread baked together with the firewood of Isser Hano is asur because the firewood is directly impacting that bread. It's tangible, it's intact, it's here while that bread is being baked. Likewise, that oven, which was galvanized using that firewood, is direct impact on the oven. The oven receives the Hano from a direct source, from the tangible source. So the oven is asur. Okay, so you can't eat the oven. But once the oven has been heated, now you have an oven in place. Now you're going to try to use that oven, which is already free from any tangible isra hana. Take that and introduce new firewood. Now you have two separate elements being used to produce a new loaf of bread. You have the oven, which is isra. You have the firewood, which is heter. So who says this combined system will create isra? Who says? This is more elulikash. You're right. Okay, so the answer is as follows. The Braisa, which says that the oven, which was fueled, which was galvanized, the new oven galvanized by the Isra Na, is Asr, cannot be used any longer, is Rabbi Lezer, Harab Lezer, Haraban. Rabbi Lezer holds even Zeb is a Goyim is Asr. So using this oven, which is Asr Bahana, even together with something else to produce a third item is Asr. According to Rabbanan, it's Mutar. And Rabbanan are reflected in the second Braisa, that even a new oven which was fueled with Isra Na can be used further. Whereas the first Braisa is Rabbi Lezer. Hi, Rabbi Lezer, where do we find Rabbi Lezer that holds Zev is a Goyim is Asr? Elaim Rabbi Lezer, this, or is it Rabbi Lezer discussing the sourdough, the snan, or shel chulin, or shel truma, shenafel soich isa? If you have a piece of sour of chulin, another small piece of sour of truma, they both fell into a dough. Ve'em bezek le'lachmetz, ve'em bezek le'lachmetz. Each one independently doesn't have the ability to make the dough chametz. Ve'netzdarfu v'chimtzum. They joined together, they combined, and they were mechamet the dough. So what happens? Rabbi Lezer, Omer, achar, achar naniba. We follow the last one, the most recent addition. So if the heter was the one that was added second, then the dough was mutter. Achar, achar naniba. The Gemara soon will tell us, we're speaking that the first one was already removed by the time that happened. Okay, we'll see that in a minute. So according to Rabbi Lezer, we follow the most recent so'er that was put into the isa. No, doesn't matter. Whether the Isra was introduced initially or whether it only came later, it won't generate Isra. Unless the Isra in itself independently has the ability to make this dough chametz. You don't join, you don't combine, because Zev is a Goyim is Mutar. Varabai. Let's understand Rabbi Lezer. He says, if the last one is heter, it's mutter. Loi shonar, that's only said, ela shekodam v'silek es isra. If before the second one arrived, he already removed the first one. So he already removed the isra. In that case, Rashi explains the effect is no longer tangible, it's batel, because it hadn't yet really produced the chametz. It came in and it was taken out before it can actually do anything. Because let's remember, the Isser is just a small piece of soil, it can't really generate chametz. So once you removed it, even though its effect is still here, but it's batel. So then when the heter arrives and completes the chametz process, we say it's mutter. Because the initial effect from the initial piece of soil, which is asr, which is no longer here, doesn't have to be reckoned with. Aval kodam vesilakas isser. Asr. But if he didn't go ahead and hurry up, remove the Isser before the Heter arrived. So now we have two pieces of Se'or, one Isser, one Heter. Asr, even according to Rabbi Lezer, it's Asr. Alma Zev is a Goyim Asr. Apparently when you have two causes producing the same result, you have a piece of Isser, a piece of Heter, which are actually both generating the Chometz here, it's Asr. So likewise, when it comes to the oven, which was fueled, which was galvanized, completed by the Isser Anah, you can't use it, even if you're going to introduce a element of heter, new firewood. So the firewood, which is heter, with the oven, which is isser, are going to jointly produce a new loaf of bread, that will be asr. Says, well, how do you know that's the pshan Rabbi Lezer? That zev is a gurim is asr. Umimai the time of the Rabbi Lezer kabaye. How do you know that Abaye's approach is correct? And you deduce from there that contra Lezer, zev is a gurim is asr. How do you know? Dilma, tama the Rabbi Lezer, vishom da acha achar naniba. Perhaps Rabbi Lezer would hold that Zev is a Goyim is Mutter. Over here, he's simply following the last thing, the last arrival. So if the last, most recent Seor introduced to the Isa is Mutter, then it's Mutter. If it's Asr, then it's Asr. As Rashi says, we look at the Gemara Maisa, how the Masa, the process was completed and concluded. If it was concluded, so we went to Chimutz, right? The Chimutz process was concluded using a heter item and that. That determines the halacha. If it was used using a isra item, then that determines the status. So we follow the last one. Achar achar nanibo lo ishna kodam vesila kase isra. Regardless of whether he removed the isra before the heter arrived, it will still be mutter because the heter is the last one. Lo ishna lo kodam vesila kase isra. Doesn't matter whether he didn't quickly go over and pull away the isra. Doesn't matter. We follow the most recent arrival. That's considered the completion of the process. But perhaps if they were both here together, they both fell in simultaneously, there's no first, no last. There's no gemar that's attributed to one over the other. They both fell in together. Perhaps the blessing would allow. Why? Because since they're both equal, they both fell in together, we have two separate elements, one is one heter producing the same result. Zev is a garm is mutter. So you have no right to counter Blazer. Zev is a garm is us. Elo says Gemara Blazer, that's a Asherah. We found Rabbi Blazer elsewhere, who seems to hold Zev is a garm is usher, but that's a Asherah. As we're going to see by the Hashem tomorrow, and this will provide a source for Blazer's Shita, Zev is a garm is usher, and that explains the Brisa, that the new oven can't be used. Although it's a Zev is a, it's us. So in summary, a person should use firewood of Isra Hanah. So if he used it to bake his bread, according to Rebbe, it's Aser, Kanacham, it's Mutter. If he's using merely coals, in which case the Iser is no longer tangible, all agree it's Mutter. If he used it to fuel up an oven, if it's an old oven, so just cool it off. If he used it to create a new oven, that's considered Zev as a Gerim, because now the oven is Aser. So by introducing new firewood, he has two elements, one Iser and one Heter. Can he use it to produce a new loaf of bread? According to a Blazer, it's Aser, Zev as a Gerim is Aser. Kanacham, Zev as a Gerim is mutter. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. We discussed the case of a person experiencing hana, bal karchai. It's loy efsha, but he has kavana. According to Abayi, it's mutter, shidas Rabbi Yehuda, that kavana is not reckoned with. According to Rav, it's asr. Abayi brought one raya, which Rav negated. Rav brought four rayas, which the Gemara negated as well. We concluded regarding the other case. When he's experiencing hana, and efsha, he can avoid it, but he has no hana, he has no kavana. According to Rav Shimon, is that mutter? Abayi says yes, Rav says no, and a raya to Abayi. We learned about koil and mara, sound and sight coming from the Beis Hamikdash. That's not considered something of mamashes, not tangible, and there's no me'ila. When it comes to reyach of keteris, that's actually considered mamashes, so it depends if it's koidem shetal temrusa, if before the plume has ascended, before the fulfillment of the mitzvah, there's me'ila. Afterwards, it's no longer me'ila. We have three examples of things that even after the mitzvah was done, there's still concern of me'ila, terumas hadeshen, bigdei kahuna, and egal rufa still usher even after the mitzvah. We concluded regarding a person who uses atzei hisra ana, if he baked his bread, machlekes rabbi and rabbanon, if it's merely coals, it's okay. He used it to fuel an oven, an old oven, just cool it off, a new oven. According to a blazer, it's usher, according to a chamim, it's mutter.